Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 9th of February, and the market is teeter-tottering back and forth and back and forth, and it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, real mess. Did you see what happened with Japan last night?
No, what happened to Japan? Something happened to the yen.
Yeah, the yen was up about 1.5% or so. The Nikkei dropped 5.5% last night. That's a lot. That's a big move.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it was down about 1.5% tonight. 7% in 2 days. And a lot of this has to do with the whole negative rates, the whole negative deposit rates. I have decided I am absolute that these negative rates are a disaster.
Hmm.
This whole thing about...
Well, they didn't work in Greece.
Yeah, this whole, it's just, first of all, the Japanese 10-year bond fell below 0% for the first time ever.
Wow.
Yeah. And this whole negative rate thing which is plaguing the banks in Europe and now causing just all sorts of problems. Actually, there's a chart there on the notes. Everybody can take a look at the notes over on DH Unplugged, the show notes that will be listed for what we're talking about today, little charts and graphics and all sorts of fun things there. But if you take a look at that yen chart, so the yen is down, well, it's up. It's rallied 5.5% since the negative rate announcement. That's tremendous for a currency. Went from about 122 when it spiked up on the announcement of the negative rates to 114 and change right now.
Hmm.
And tonight it was dropping again like crazy.
Or going up.
Yeah, going up. What's interesting is that Kurata is the Janet Yellen of Japan. He's going to be speaking tonight in front of Parliament. Tomorrow we have Janet Yellen speaking starting at about 10:30 in the morning in front of Congress. So who knows what's going to go on there. But this whole currency move where there's a competitive devaluation going on and big problem. I think one of the big things here is that this negative rate is being looked at as an act of desperation.
Hmm.
You know, they can't, their stimulus packages, the constant buying of bonds, trying to push down the currency, trying to stimulate their economies, where Japan went into a recession again. They have all the problems that they've had for years and nothing's changing. It's getting worse. The global economy is slowing down. So what are they going to do? They have no ideas. Oh, what the hell? We'll do something we haven't tested before. Let's go into this negative rate environment. The European negative rates have been enforced for about a year and change already. I don't know if you've seen them, their banks. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Deutsche Bank hit an all-time low again since forever.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank. In fact, I'm gonna go long on Deutsche Bank.
Oh, Deutsche Bank had some news today. They're going to be doing.
Well, guy came out. This is actually this guy. Yeah, the head honcho guy comes out and he talks about, hey, well, you know, we're great.
We're rock solid.
And I was watching Closing Bell, I think, on CNBC, and they went around the horn with all these guys. Well, that's exactly what they said at Lehman.
There's nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
We're stronger than ever.
Yeah, and then they bank after bank they cited, and every one of them went broke.
Yep.
And Deutsche Bank's not going broke.
They're not going broke, but they have a lot of problems. One of the big things is the large amount of exposure they have to commodities and commodity derivatives with Glencore and a few other names. That's when the big problem, and that's why they're getting hit so much. Not to mention the fact that they've been involved in a tremendous amount of scandals over the years. So
what's the deal with
Credit Suisse?
Yeah, Credit Suisse.
Same thing. All the banks over there are just
I think they've been pounded harder than Deutsche Bank.
They may have been. I think Deutsche Bank overall is down more. It's like down 70% or something from their high, and probably Credit Suisse is not too far away. The problem is that, you know, if anybody will tell you that while here there was all these problems and, you know, we were having a major financial catastrophe, there was a bit more transparency in the banks here. We don't know exactly what the deal is with those banks. People have no idea what they really have on their books. We don't know if they were really fixed or not. They said they were, but who knows?
Fixed might be the word used in another sense.
Yeah, exactly. So big problems there. I'll tell you though, the biggest issue that has really been, well, one of the biggest issues that's been sparking my ear lately has been the words or the acronym CDS has been coming back into the daily vernacular of traders.
What are they founded on?
So CDS are contingent default swaps. Now, did you see the movie The Big Short?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, we talked about it already, but I didn't want to watch it.
Right. Well, what was the big money that was made on the whole financial crisis meltdown and the housing crisis was on the CDS or contingent default swaps, whereas
they're called credit default swaps.
Oh yeah, they are called credit default swaps. Yeah, you're right. See, I was just testing you. So you do know what they are. I'm sorry. I don't know why I say contingent.
I was wondering if there's maybe some new version.
Nope, credit default swaps.
What are they contingent upon? What are they working off of?
They're basically working off of the potential for a credit event on the institution. So basically bankruptcy or default.
So how do you trade these? How do you get one?
So you have to, there's different ways to do it, but basically it's like buying insurance.
Right.
And you have to pay it off. So you buy a certain amount and you pay a premium into it. And
you
then
keep paying until
something either happens or till you sell it at a profit.
Or walk away from it.
Right. So take a look at this CDS spreads chart, what's gone on recently. This is the global financial CDS. You see how they're, you can just look at the chart momentum here. Since November, December of last year.
Yikes.
Yeah, spiking pretty hard. And what this is showing us that this is the senior financial CDS, so the credit default swap on the bonds, because that's what would be the big problem. So you buy the bonds and maybe you insure them with the CDS against them. But this is the iTraxx senior financial CDS, which, just to tell everybody what it looks like, essentially it was, you know, since 2014, trading in a range. And then starting at the end of 2015, it spiked from about 80 to about 191 on the subordinated. And the senior financials went from about, which are much safer, went from about 25 to about 90. So these are, you know, it's essentially looking at the short side of the bond exposure and of companies potentially going bankrupt.
Again, how do you get hold of one of these things?
You have to be a big boy.
Yeah, well, this is no good.
Yeah, no, I didn't say it was good. I'm just telling you what's happening. Now, on the other hand, you could do things like shorting the banks.
Or you could buy puts.
You could buy puts on the
financial. That's a lot of leverage there if you nail a put.
Exactly. I had a guy just last week. At the end of the week, I was watching his trade, and he made like 170 points on the NASDAQ futures on the short side. And those are worth $20 per point. So if he had 10 of those, just think about that leverage.
It's That's like, nice.
Yeah.
What nice. Was it he did again?
He shorted the NASDAQ, NASDAQ futures. You know, you go
How
long.
Do you manage to do that?
So you have to open a futures account. And NASDAQ futures are trading at you have to put up like $2,000 per contract. And every point is about $20. You can do it with the S&P also. It's about $5,000. These are the minis. You can do $5,000 per contract, and every point is $50.
Huh.
And you can just go long or short. Easy, bing, bing, you know, all day long. Short, long, short, long, short, long. They're very, very liquid. Overnight, too. Do this all night if you want. And into just every day, Sunday night starting at 6 and Friday until 6. And there's a 15-minute break in between each day. That's about it. So my biggest concern, by the way, and what's kind of got me in a little bit of a bind here, not in a bind badly in terms of that, but just my stomach in a bind, is my concern about the potential for China devaluing their currency after the Chinese New Year holiday ends, which just started yesterday.
Right. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Their markets are closed for this period. And I really wonder what's going to happen. They spent about $500 billion propping up their market, their currency over the last several months. And in particular, a lot of money they put into it during the last few weeks leading up until the Chinese New Year, because a lot of times what happens is, you know, the banks are closed for a week. So what do people do? They go out and they take all the money that they can out to last them for the week or so, right? I guess they could do ATMs, but I don't know. Point is, they take a lot of money out of the banks at that point. Well, if there was concern over the potential for a devaluation beforehand, people would possibly pull out a lot more and really start screwing up the banks. So I think what happened was they really held up their currency prior to this new year. And when you get back, there could be a little bit of a problem coming in. Just let
you
know.
Do you think that's a possibility?
I do. I do. I mean, it may not be the day that they open back up, but there is a major calling for them to reduce or devalue their currency because of what's going on there with the slowdown in their economy. And some are speculating a 50% a devaluation. I think that's a little bit much. You know, even a 10% devaluation would be really earth-shattering. We had a 2% devaluation. We had that flash crash in August.
Right.
So continuing on with the pretty much all bad news, by the way.
Well,
this show.
This is the bad news show.
Yeah, this is a bad news show. That's why we're going to talk about the Titanic in here too, as well. Very apt, I think, for this discussion.
We could rename the show the Bad News Bears.
Okay, last year, check this out. The number of dividend reductions by companies last year surpassed the dividend reductions in 2008. Hmm. And there's a little button that says yen chart, but we'll change that. It's actually the dividend cuts by year. So 2009 was the big year, 527 dividend cuts by companies. 2008, there was 295. But that's not a good thing because people are looking for dividends and buying stocks saying, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll wait. I got the dividend and all that. Now you got these dividend cuts going on. That's a big problem.
A lot of people I know are diving into Exxon.
Really?
It's got a good dividend and they have a tendency not to cut.
Tendency.
Yeah. Well,
until they do.
Right now, the tendency is not to cut.
Right.
Well, it's up there, but it's not nothing like 2008 and 9.
It's more than 2008, but not 2009.
Yeah, 2009 was way up there.
Yeah. So, but the point was 2008 came before. It was a lead up until.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's possible that 2016.
Right.
Thing could go through the roof.
Right.
Although, if you look at it from another perspective, you could say, even though there's nothing to reference in this regard because it's been going, it's 2012 it's high, 2013 is high, but if you said it was 2014, 2015 as matching 2008, 2009, then things aren't that bad.
Correct. Depends on the perspective, I guess. But still, we're seeing these dividend cuts. A lot of them are in the energy and materials area, so we know about that. There's been an interesting turnaround. You know, Goldman Sachs, which is the big boys, and follow what they do, right? That's the kind of mantra. So they've abandoned five of their six top trades already for 2016. Five of the six that were their top trades for 2016, they're out of. They had a trade bet on inflation, dollar bull, emerging markets, U.S. banks, and a couple other things.
So within 40 days of the new year, they've already bailed.
Yep, we're done. They'd either hit their stop or something changed dramatically. They figured, we're done. Not going to do this.
Are they going to introduce new ideas or they're just going to sit stand pat?
I think they should probably just sit on the sidelines for a little while.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about U.S. recession. The whole, that's another thing that's been coming around. If you look at like a Google Trends and you look up the word recession, you probably see a big spike in the lookups or the searches for the word recession.
I wonder if you could do the same thing for bear market.
I bet you. Now, there's also a lot of voices that have been protesting this concept. You know, as a matter of fact, you people are idiots. You know, the old idiot thing. They start name calling. You know, the bulls start name calling.
Yeah, idiot seems to be a good word.
Yeah,
you can look that one up too and see what the trend is.
especially right around the time when we released this show. Probably spikes.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of voices that are protesting this whole thing. And I thought that was really interesting that one of the things that I think they're missing is that is it possible that certain parts of the economy are in a recession and certain parts aren't? Certain areas, like as in geographic, are in a recession, certain aren't? So, for example,
I don't see any reason why that wouldn't be the case from my experience around here.
Yeah.
And also, when I was, again, listening to the television pundits going on and on, they're talking about spot recessions like the banking in Europe and all, you know, which is now in a bear market, supposedly. And there's different kinds of things. So, and as we know, the markets, every time there's a up and down thing happening, it's never really perfectly reflective of anything we've ever seen before. There's always some new element. It's like going to a baseball game.
Right.
Every time you go to a baseball game, you see some screwy thing happen that's you've never seen before.
Right.
And it's possible that that's what we're witnessing.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to put together, okay, let's look at the difference between, or look at the ISM manufacturing, which is clearly in a recession. The manufacturing sector in the U.S. has clearly been in a contraction period, whereas the ISM services, which is a much larger component of the U.S. economy, is doing kind of okay. Now, their numbers did come down recently. I think we came down from about 55 to about 53 or so on the service index last month, the most recent reading that we saw. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to put it together. So approximately 70% of the U.S. economy is based on services. And so 30% into manufacturing. So I said, okay, well, if we combine the two, what does that look like? So I put together a little chart here using just that. And you can see that we're not in the contraction zone because obviously the ISM composite, as we're calling it, the blended composite, is above that area. But you can see the trend, obviously, is kind of coming in a bit. And that's because the manufacturing is so, you know, seeing so much problems here. But I believe that I agree that we're not in a recession, although there are some signs that things are slowing down. There's no question about that. But the manufacturing area and that whole part of our economy and factory orders and inventories and things like that, you know, that whole, all those components are in a recession-like environment, whereas services are not. So I think if they can clarify
there's also regional stuff going on, like around here, I can assure you there's no recession.
Right. But then you just kind of scoop down to Texas and maybe some things are not so good in some areas, or North Dakota, South Dakota, Pennsylvania.
Well, North Dakota's got its problems.
Yep.
Well, this is a great little chart.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it shows we're in good shape.
We're in good shape, although slowing down.
Yeah, well, it's heading in the wrong direction, but that can stop.
Still okay. Oil is below $30 a barrel. And this is interesting because there's a lot of insurance that has been placed on. As a matter of fact, I think oil was down 6.5% today or something like that, at 28 and change. Now, by the way, this is the current contract for oil. If you recall, the last contract, last month's contract, the last futures contract, when we look at oil prices, was actually, it closed at about 27 and change, maybe 28. But the new contract, when it came online, was at almost at 30. And that's just have to, these contracts roll on a regular basis. And what happens is it's called contango. The forward futures contract may be worth more, so you have to roll into the next one. The bottom line is that the $30 or the $28 that we're seeing now is kind of lower than it was prior because it's about $2 differential.
Hmm.
Now, at $30, when we're below that now, but at $30, a lot of companies have hedged their oil exposure in terms of, if oil goes or stays above 30, they're in good shape, right? They got insurance at up to that level. Companies like Marathon Oil, Noble Energy, Callon Petroleum, Pioneer Natural, there's a whole bunch of them. So they use what's called a three-way collar that doesn't guarantee a minimum price if oil falls below a certain level, but the three-way hedge they have can protect them up to a certain point. And a lot of these companies are protected up to $30. Now, when it falls below 30, things get really crazy. Now it doesn't pay any more to drill.
Yeah, which brings us back to the old adage. The cure for lower oil prices is lower oil prices.
Right, right, right. Exactly. I think the reverse is true too, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
to a degree.
I do know that when they get that low, they stop drilling, and that just the end result's always going to be the same,
but
shortage.
But because they did hedge it out in a big way, a lot of these companies, that's why the production hasn't slowed. Now, we only had after hours today about a 2.5 million barrel build compared to a 3.5 million barrel build last week at this level. But still, a one barrel build is too much right now.
So they're still, okay, well, that means that the prices have to go lower.
Yeah, well, that's what it looks like. That's why it was down so much today.
Yeah. Well, just in time for, I hope it'll be down for, that means gas prices will be down for at least a year.
Yep, I would think so. There's some commentary that Midwest gas prices may go below a dollar.
Take photos.
How great would that be?
Everybody here, take photos. You'll never see that again.
Yeah, my lowest, I told you, my lowest price was, it's kind of like, you almost want to see those old gas pumps in that picture. You know, the old gas station with a couple of old gas pumps with the
old pumps
with the glass tops.
Oh, that's even, yeah, those are the old ones.
Yeah, you know, you want to see those in the picture as well, you know, with kind of some rusty signs.
You know how those old pumps worked, those ones with the glass tops?
Was it a vacuum of some sort or something?
No, you actually literally pumped the gasoline from the tank into the, you had, there's a pump. And you'd fill up that glass thing, and then on the glass thing, it had the gallonage little marks. It was like a measuring cup, and you'd fill it up, and get like 5, 10. I think they hold 10 gallons or 15, and you get to that mark, and then you'd grab the. I only remember this not because I ever really used these pumps when I was a kid, but we had a friend who had one of them. And he first, he had a little farm, and he had this pump, and he used it to fill up his tractors. So it'd go up there, and then when you've got it to the point where you had the 10 gallons or whatever you wanted to pump out, you pulled off the handle, the hose. You'd take the hose, and then you'd squeeze it, and gravity would push it down into the hose and into the vehicle.
Mm. So you had to have somebody checking how much gas you were taking to charge you for it.
I would think so, yeah. At the station, if it was at a station.
But back in those times, it was probably the honor system.
Maybe, but then again, maybe not. You don't know.
Yep. So as we are speaking right now this evening, as we are talking, Karada, the Japanese central banker, is doing something and speaking and doing something in front of Parliament, and already we're seeing massive movement in the yen.
In which way?
Weakening, of course. Went from 114.30 to 115.20 in a matter of seconds, and it's kind of halfway in between right now. Mm. Now, we're going to see some movement again, just to bring this up, because tomorrow we're going to see the Janet Yellen testimony, and which interesting, you know, it's really interesting. Since the rate hike that everybody was so nervous about, yields have slid precipitously. The 10-year was at like 177 today. So they hiked rates and rates went down. Makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing but sense.
Here's another thing. Kind of moving fast because we have a lot to cover here. We got some earnings coming up in a moment. We're going to announce the winner of the DH Fed contest, guessing the money. We do have a winner this week. What's the deal with, there was a record 4,279 people that renounced their U.S. citizenship this year or last year.
Yeah, I think it's been going up year to year.
What's that about? Is it about taxes?
Yeah. You have to know that we have a creeping bracket problem in this country. So more people are billionaires. And now there's a fear that the whoever gets in office, like whether it's Bernie or anybody else, are going to jack up the prices.
Do you think that, so in New Hampshire, the results are in that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are the winners of those, of that, right. of that. What do you call it? New Hampshire.
Primary.
So do you think that markets are, if either of those two get in, well, there's other ones that are problems too, but let's just focus on these two for a moment. Do you think markets are a little bit freaked out if either of these two get in?
I don't know. I know they'd be freaked out by Bernie.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, he just shakes his fist. He can't do as much. He can't do what he says he wants to do. Because, you know, you're just the president. The president can do a lot, but he's not a dictator.
Right.
And same with Trump. I don't know how people can get freaked out about, unless it's like a landslide and they end up owning Congress. like Obama did. I mean, that would freak you out.
Right.
When Obama got elected, he took over the House and the Senate by over 60 votes. He could have done anything he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And of course, he did nothing. But he could have.
Yep.
And I could see where people would get nervous.
I hope that if Bernie gets in, he puts Larry David as his vice. How great would that be?
Larry David's he's getting a lot of work now.
Of course. He's like a clone. Like they sound exactly the same.
Well, they were both on Saturday Night Live last week. Yep. And so that you got to see them side by side. And they have more of a kind of a similar charisma and gestalt than they actually look similar. They don't look that similar.
Well, it's a Jewish mumbler voice. It's a deep Jewish mumbler voice. You know,
that's exactly the voice.
Let's talk about LinkedIn. Did you look at all what happened to LinkedIn last week?
I did not.
Oh, it's a disaster.
I was watching the Twitter thing, and I wrote a column for PC Magazine about Twitter.
Twitter, I don't know if they leaked this horrendous data about their ideas. Like, first of all, nobody can handle this whole, what is it, memories or mention, or what is that little thing they put there? You know, the feed they put in there for you?
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
No.
The second thing
you
is...
You want that, go to Facebook. They'll give you that.
The second thing is moments. I think they call it moments. The second thing about Twitter, they were going to do away with the 140 character limit and do like 100,000 characters or something ridiculous 10, like that.
10,000. It was 10,000.
Ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous. Totally. It misses the point of the product.
Exactly. The second thing is, you get very good after a while with 140 characters, right?
I've gotten really good. I've gotten to the point where I can nail the 140 characters, and it's like I'll write something that's like 160 characters, and I will not change the meaning at all.
Right.
And I'll pare it down until I get to 149. You feel very proud of yourself.
Yeah, I hear you.
Accomplish something.
Got to take out that word, put in a dash, move it over a little bit left, put a period in, you know. And then the last thing was to do an algorithm that does the most relevant tweets first versus in chronological order. How insane is that?
Again, go to Facebook if you want that.
Exactly. Anyway, LinkedIn company comes out with earnings last week, and I don't even know the right words, but abysmal outlook. Advertisers are just not there. Stock tumbles 50%.
Yeah, we missed the boat on that one.
And you want to know something? I'm mad at you for that. Because we talked about how Facebook had a new business service that was in competition to LinkedIn. Do you remember that discussion? Selective memory.
I repressed it.
Yeah. But clearly, there was an announcement about this, and LinkedIn really didn't get affected in the beginning. But we should have looked a little bit longer. Said, you know, any kind of competition. It's kind of like what Uber's doing to Grubhub, or what Google did with Yelp. You know, those kind of things. These are not good for these companies. Any kind of incremental loss of advertisers is not going to be good.
Well, this reminds me of something that I think I know I have kind of lost track of, and I don't know why, in this case, LinkedIn. If you want to blame me for something I said, I'll take full responsibility because it was stupid. But in the classic way you always look at tech, especially around the modern era, is that, and you used to see this more than you see it now. Microsoft's getting into the business. Who else is in the business? Short them.
Yep.
They're all going to go broke.
Right.
And that would be the way it worked, because Microsoft would steal their ideas. They do all these things, and all these little ancillary companies that were in business doing just fine are now all out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a common theme that runs through the business. And exactly why we don't see it the same way with Facebook, which is the big monkey in the room.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure what was wrong with
that day. That day we also saw Tableau Software, which is they do some kind of making your stuff look better, I guess, from I don't know exactly what they do, frankly, but they take your data and from somewhere and they kind of mash it up and put it together in some way so it's much more viewable, and maybe from a managerial standpoint easier. They blew up by about 50% that day too. And then you had the Splunks, the Workdays, and all these other guys get crushed. Not to mention, you know, you're seeing, well, just technology blow up pretty badly. But after this report, you saw Twitter kept on moving lower from LinkedIn. Twitter moved lower. Facebook moved lower. You know, Facebook had a great quarter, and it was up nicely, and then just it's down by like 95 again, 96.
I don't know.
Now, another stock we had tonight came out, SolarCity, Elon Musk's company, you know, Tesla. If you look at Tesla.
Yeah, I ran that up last year.
Yep, that stock was, when I first started writing this up, it was down 25% after earnings and down 31%. It ended up down 37% after hours. I mean, there's some real ugliness going on.
I'd say.
I mean, it's not, these are
like,
not.
Like you said, you could have just taken a bunch of darts and thrown them at the sheets and shorted everything.
I mean, some of the stuff is looking way overdone, but you just wonder because they keep on beating them down on top of it.
I remember, well, if you remember the dot-com crash from 99, 2000, 2001, when the market started to slide, there were at least five moments that you would have said, oh, this is overdone, and then, boom, I'll lose another 50%. I think following Nortel, which is a stock that I had shorted, but I'd been long on it, and I decided every so often to go long again, and I finally gave up on it because it kept going down and down and down until it got to two. It went from like $80 a share to two. And all along the way, you could say, well, I think it's really overdone. Now's the time to get in. You'd have been screwed.
Yep.
But that's, of course, at the beginning of a major bear market. And this, I don't know if that's what we're seeing.
I mean, that's the interesting thing. We're not in a bear market. Market's down. S&P's down 10%. This year, I think the NASDAQ's down 12 or 14% this year or something like that. But what's interesting is these big names are giving up the ghost pretty good. I mean, look what happened with Google. They came up with good earnings. The stock was about, I think, 8.10 after the earnings release. It's like 6-something now.
Yeah.
Netflix got just eviscerated.
I really get the sense that we're at the bottom. I don't think that we're going to go up necessarily tomorrow, but I just don't see this thing going much further down again.
I think it's all about oil and where we're following oil. But what's also interesting is Disney beat on earnings and on revenue. Stock was up 2 or 3% after hours, then it slumped 3.5% by the time the market after hours closed tonight. One of the big issues was, while they made a good amount of money in their movie business and in their theme parks and all that good stuff, I mean, ESPN is dragging them. This has been a common theme for a while. There's a whole unplugging deal.
I followed the Disney thing, and I have a different interpretation of why it didn't perform well after earnings.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot to be said about ESPN, and I don't know if you go on ESPN much, but I do. And they have really upped their game. ESPN has become quite an interesting phenomenon. And yes, the unplugging, the cord cutting, as it, you know, everyone's scared to death, and it doesn't really, I don't think it's really doing much to the bottom line. I think that the thing took a beating because everybody looked at this Star Wars movie as this mega hit and says, you know, they're not going to do that again this year.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think that this is the peak.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's going to weigh on the Dow tomorrow unless something turns around pretty good. It's another Dow company getting hurt. It's also a sign of investors. There's been several times over the last 2 years where we've seen companies come in with just okay earnings and maybe guiding lower. Don't forget, in a time when we have a market seeing massive amounts of selling going on, companies just will guide lower for the hell of it. Just throw it out there. Just throw all the crap out there at this point. You know, just get it flushed
down. Get it out of the way.
Yeah. So who knows if, you know, some of this guidance is a little bit more
exaggerated.
Yeah. I mean, look at what happened with GoPro. GoPro came out last week with earnings, and I looked at the earnings. I'm like, is that right? That can't be right. It was absolutely horrible. They missed on earnings, and they cut their guidance like by 50%. Just horrible guidance. So you know what I did? I went in and I bought the stock. we bought the stock. Now, fortunately, it was the next day. It was down about 18% after hours. The next day, it opens up. It starts climbing a little bit. We buy a little bit of the stock. And fortunately, Microsoft also came out with some kind of a deal where they're going to do some work. I'm not exactly sure what the outcome will be of this, but they're going to do something with GoPro, and the GoPro stock moved up. It moved up again today. We're up like 10, 12%. The stock is above where it was on that just horrendous earnings number. I think we bought the stock in the nines. It's at 11.5 now.
Huh. Well, that's a good call.
Yeah. But that's the kind of thing, you know, when you look at sentiment is so bad right now that even good things get pummeled.
Yeah, that's why I think Deutsche Bank's a good, now's the time to go in.
All right, we'll be there in a moment. We'll get to that game. Now, did we mention do you remember this when we did this great little game we played with our listeners, the closest to the pin contest?
Yeah.
We're doing it again.
Oh.
Starting in March.
It's your favorite game.
My favorite game. Close to the pin. This is when we pick a stock, and we have a period of time where you can enter the stock price, what you think it will be at a certain date in the future, which we have listed. And the closest to the actual price will win just, you know, luxury cruises, you know, U.S. based plane travel, just, you know, just maybe not so much that, but how about the grand prize of being crowned the winner for that particular contest? We'll do it each every week. We'll just name a stock. You go over to the website. We'll talk about this when it actually comes up. You go enter your price one time only and a certain period of time when the registration and entries are open, and then we'll see who wins each and every week.
Sounds good.
Be fun.
Now, so we should take the winners then and have a showdown.
We could do that.
For the grand winner.
Yeah, we could do that. That would be fun. Now, Tim Cook, do you watch the Super Bowl, by the way? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Did you like the halftime show?
No, I thought it sucked.
Yeah, it was strong and weak at the same time.
I didn't see the strong part then.
I thought that Bruno Mars was great.
I'm not a big fan.
No. What about Beyonce? She had quite the...
I couldn't understand a word she said. It's supposed to be some, she's really putting it out there. It's all kinds of political stuff, and I can't understand the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's just all mumbling as far as I'm concerned. I sound like an old fart. Yes, I know. But I still can't understand the lyrics, whether I'm an old fart or not. And so I didn't get any political anything out of it. Just stomping around the field with a bunch of people in black leather.
Not to mention, as my grandmother would say, kind of Crisco. You know what Crisco is, right?
No.
Fat in the can.
A lot of Crisco there. And so, and then these other guy, Coldplay,
Coldplay was great. I mean, they are great. They weren't great. It was very, the stage was cool. You got to give me that.
The stage was cool, even though it was a little small.
Yeah.
And I thought the Russians did a better job at the Winter Olympics, to be honest about it.
Mm.
And I thought the whole thing was like overdone. I've decided, because I went to this, and I did a column or a picture photo show or something on the Super Bowl city that was in San Francisco that I went to.
Uh-huh.
Because I went to the Super Bowl once years ago. I went to Super Bowl 19 and I got to watch the game and everything. But they didn't have the spectacle around the game itself. You know, the week full of all kinds of stuff going on, concerts and throw the football through the hole and all that sort of thing. So I went to this thing. It was just a joke. It was crap.
That was like overblown. 1980, 31 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
so I felt that over the last 31 years, since I never went to another game, another Super Bowl, I said, I must be missing out because they make it sound so spectacular.
Yeah.
So I go and do all the ancillary. I didn't go to the game, obviously, but I went to all the other stuff. It's a joke.
Mm.
I don't recommend it.
Yeah. Well, especially with all the crowds.
And I would also say it's probably better to watch the game on television.
Yeah. I enjoyed it on television.
Tim Cook was there. Party at home.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
Tim Cook was there.
At the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have taken a picture while he was there. And he posted it on Twitter. So we have this is true. This is at least from what the news I read, it was true. I posted the picture on the show notes over at DH Unplugged. If you click on that. So this is the picture he takes. And he posts.
Cook's blurry photo. I'm getting the joke already.
This is true.
Oh, my God.
This is people just went berserk. How dare you with an Apple post a picture. Blah, blah, blah. Although it looks like it has an effect to it, if you think about it.
I don't see an effect. It does. Blur. Got the blur button, push it.
Yep. That's what he put out. So people were just absolutely crazed.
Was he down on the field?
It looks like it. It looks like it. I mean, he's got the money to do so, right?
Yeah, I guess.
That was a bad picture.
That's a really... that's embarrassing. Showing off the phone.
Exactly. All right, let's see. We'll pass that story by. That story's not that fun. Daimler recalling 840,000. What is the story with these Takata airbags? Is nobody going to put a stop to this company or what?
I don't know how the company can afford to keep making these airbags.
They can't, because Japan... This is the whole problem. They just keep these... terrible companies. This reminds me of what happened in Fukushima. Japan's like, there's no radiation. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. We'll pack some ice around it and something like that. We'll, you know, put a styrofoam area around the radiation. You have no problem. Don't worry about it. I mean, but the fact is that you have a situation where these airbags by this company Takata are dangerous. They're burning people, they're killing people, they're maiming people, and all these and the schmucky car companies keep putting them in or have put them in and don't do anything about it because God
forbid. Who else makes airbags?
There's got to be other companies.
Maybe that's the problem. They can't get up to the numbers.
Yeah, but so what? So you put in defective airbags? I'd rather not have it. I'd rather go without my seatbelt.
I don't know. I think you're right.
I mean, it's just terrible. But, you know, this is the whole problem with all these companies. It's all about the bottom line, which I get totally. But, you know, it's another Daimler. It's another German company, right?
Yeah.
Another German company recalling 840,000 cars. And, you know, this is, again, in the same thing that happened with these airbags, that they're just using them because and not recalling them, you know, probably faster than they should be because, gosh, you know, boy, we can't, you know, have a problem with, you know, our earnings and revenues.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. Now we got to get to the story on Deutsche Bank. So there's some kind of rumor, some kind of murmur out there today that they're doing, this is what I heard, and it kind of struck.
I heard this too.
Yeah, they're doing a massive, enormous amount of a bond repurchase program. And I'm thinking to myself, have I ever heard of something like that before? I don't recall, honestly, I don't recall, what is that? Now, I know what a stock repurchase plan is, right? Where they go in and they do buybacks of their stock. And they do it because they think it's a great investment. But truthfully, we know they do it for goosing the EPS and shrinking the share values and all this stuff. Float and all that. So I'm thinking to myself, why would a company do a bond repurchase program? So I started thinking, okay, number one, they're doing it to show that the company's strong and they're going to be happy about purchasing their bonds and pulling back that money. I'm thinking, okay. The bonds are down very significantly, so why not just buy them back?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, if the bonds were 100 and they'd have to eventually pay back 100, why not just buy them back at 75, whatever the price is now?
Sounds like a smart move.
Right? I think also, if you think about negative interest rates, whereas if they keep money on deposit at the central bank, European Central Bank, they have to pay on that. Well, instead of doing that, the whole idea of negative interest rates is to put money out in the street, right? And to put money out there so they can loan it out and stuff like that. So instead of doing that, it's backfiring. And Deutsche Bank is saying, you know what? We'll just buy our own bonds back and just put money back into our coffers. Or take it out of our coffers, but take it out of the European Central Bank and buy our bonds back. But I started thinking about
it. Because the money's going to deteriorate.
Right. But it seemed to me like they're going to buy their own. It's almost like, you know, biting your, you know, it's kind of like eating your own cancerous arm. I mean, they're going to take back their old debt, I mean, and retire it and put, I just don't understand. Something about it also was, I think it was meant to be a bold move to try to prop it up by saying that they'll buy it back. And by doing so, what's going to happen is that maybe it forces, it's kind of like a quantitative easing program, but just done by Deutsche Bank. They're going to buy the bonds and maybe that will push their bonds up by making people get in there beforehand because they know there's going to be a backstop.
Maybe that could be. It could be a scam.
Yeah. So this is why Deutsche Bank, I think, moved up today from where it was. Didn't move up, but it didn't. It was down like, I think, 4 or 5%. And it was only down like 1% by the end of the day. But Credit Suisse was down 6% today again.
Yeah, that really went down.
And finally, before we get to the, two things before we get to our stock picks. I have an idea today, by the way, that is on the heels of what the hell is wrong with us? Why did we go after LinkedIn? Right? I have an idea like that may be a winner.
Okay.
All right. But I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Maybe you could tell me. And I think the whole Titanic idea of why we're naming the show about the Titanic is the Titanic 2, which is an exact replica of the original Titanic, is being built and it's ready to be sent out to sea and take people on voyages in 2018. Is this, who's going on this ship?
I think, and the restaurant inside, Chipotle.
I mean, seriously. I mean, it's got to be, I mean, people, if nothing else, people have watched movies about this thing, and they may be a little concerned.
Yeah, it's not what I call it, a lot of good publicity.
Yeah, it's like we're sending up the Challenger 2. Who are the astronauts that would like to go up on it?
Any teachers want to get a free ride?
Right?
Yeah. That's what I'd say the same thing. They have to, the amount of say, oh, well, it's going to be a different, it's actually going to be this a replica, but the hull's going to be different, and this is going to be different, and that's going to be different. And, it, you know, so it will, it won't sink. I don't know. It seems like it's jinxed.
Yeah. I mean, this is why they don't build certain things in certain places, and it just, I don't know, kind of thought it was
interesting. Yeah, there's a jinxed.
Yeah.
Why take a chance?
Yeah. So we have a winner from the DH Fed. Now, it was a tough thing because a lot of the, there was some slightly covered and more covered. Everything was exposed, but some things that were kind of somewhat hidden on the DH Fed where we were looking at that picture and you had a guess. Did you take a guess at what you thought it was?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I did. I nailed it.
Oh, yeah. I knew you would. So Max Humphrey. Now, Max, I hope you're sitting down when you hear this. You won. You came within $3. That's the by far the closest. I think the closest we had otherwise was about $50 or $60. The actual answer was $4,653. Do we get a ding?
Get it. And he got 4650.
Yeah, it came $3 within the $3. That's within a margin of error.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, fine. Do you have a ding? Do we have some kind of sound effect? Do we have anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Ready? Hold on a second. And the winner is Max Humphreys. There you go.
Oh, no, that's not it. Wait.
What is that?
What? Wait.
Okay, one more time. Here we go. Ready?
No, wait. Let me find the one I'm looking for. Okay, go.
And the winner is Max Humphreys. That's right. Max Humphreys. You and your guest will experience a wonderful tour through Amazon where we're going to send you a $100 gift certificate to Amazon. So, Max, watch your email, and we'll get that over to you very, very shortly. See, it pays to listen to DH Unplugged, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Yeah. By the way, just to let you know, the if you
I'm
go...
I'm sure you had fun doing that.
I'm sure. Some people were freaking out, by the way. Some people were, like, writing me, like, oh, do we have a winner? I can't figure it out. I'm working on it. I mean, they spent, like, a lot of time doing this.
Hmm.
So I apologize for any kind of...
inconvenience.
The DH Unplugged, if you go look at that, if the listeners go to the website and go to the click the little link there that says DH Weekly Stock Picks, and you do have to register, it's free registration to go and look at all of our stock picks. What's happening is a brand new layout showing you like the price change for the S&P and the oil year to date and all that. Plus, it has tabs in there. It shows you what the stop price is and where things are, what is currently live, what is currently closed, so you can see it. It looks a little bit different than what I sent you there, John.
Oh, okay.
But really cool. I don't know if you, I think you've seen it, but this is easier for us to go through.
It looks dynamite.
Yep. Now, in 2016, a couple things to note. NASDAQ down 14.75%. Dow Jones down 8%. The S&P 500 down 9.5%. So quite the turnaround from last year, where the NASDAQ was actually up 5.5%. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. We are not recommending anything. Horowitz Company, John C. Dvorak, or Andrew Horowitz, myself, may own these securities, and we'll duly note that. If you decide, actually, I got a note one right here. If, in fact, you decide that you want to buy something or do something or sell something, short something that we talk about, please make sure to do your own research. We are not responsible for you losing a penny. But, of course, if you make a lot of money, you can send us a donation. And, That yeah, good idea. That one guy that sent me the donation to the Bernie Sanders campaign, that's not the kind of donation I'm talking about. Okay? He said, thanks for the stuff. I sent a bunch of money to Bernie Sanders for you. I'm like, okay, thanks. We only have...
especially since you're not a big fan of Bernie Sanders.
Nope. Let's see. I mean, he'd be the first Jew in... I think his original name was Bernie Sandwich. No, Sanders.
Sandwich. Really, Bernie Sandwich. I'm going to use that.
My hero. Bernie Sanderswich. Sanderwich. Sanderwich. Yeah, I guess that was a good thing to change the name. We only have three stocks that are currently... Three stocks? Let me see this.
You haven't got that many stocks to begin with.
Well, because they keep getting stopped out. Any buys are just gonzo. We had the Under Armour. Remember that? We were up 26.5% and they came back down. Legg Mason was stopped out, down 8.5% on the stop. Inovio Pharmaceuticals, that's doing absolutely crapola. but that is a 15% stop. Seagate was stopped out. It was up nicely and then came right back down. The HYG, the high-yield bonds, obviously are doing pretty well. They're up about 12% on that short. Intel is up 12%. That's live. And then Lake Mason. That's it. That's all we got. So let me tell you what I got.
I'm still liking a couple of these stocks. I may buy them outside the game. Lake Mason, for example, shouldn't be.
Well,
it looks like even a better deal than it was.
Yeah, well, the whole thing, it's all a matter of, don't forget, it's all a matter of, they make their money on the assets they manage. And if people are pulling out or their value of their book goes down, well, they lose. You know, it's just a very simple thing. If markets go up, they do well. If markets go down, they don't do so well. Lake Mason has a lot of bond funds, which should be good for them. So I have two picks. First, this is a pretty serious flyer here. Labu. Labu is the 3x S&P biotech. Bull.
Do you ever buy any of these 3Xers for your real accounts?
I personally own that. There's a little number one right there.
Oh, really? You actually own that?
Yep, I do. The last few days, I've been buying it.
$5.29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I bought it very recently, actually. Now, this is in the hopes that there'll be a biotech rally, any kind of little rally in the markets, any kind of move up, this thing is going to fly. On the other hand, you know, you could see the way the chart looks recently, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, but, and your last flyer on this was that Zika thing.
Well, that was totally a flyer. One, yeah, that's ugly. Now, the other one that I'm going to put on here is a short. This is the one that I said, we're not going to be stupid about this. Now, what is the effect of all these people emailing, messaging, Facebooking, Twittering, fewer letters, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but they have more impact.
Yeah, but we're going to short stamps.com.
Okay.
Coming out with their earnings in a few days. Coming out with their earnings in a few days. This is like the DVD of the postage industry. Right?
Well, I can see that perspective. I can say it's nicely priced at $84.
Mm-hmm. Very volatile after earnings. Earnings are coming out, I think, Thursday. And
might be an interesting short. I can see it going down to 60 or something like, or less.
Yeah. Stamps.com. Now, somebody said to me when I was talking about this earlier today in my office, I think I'm going to go with look at the different earnings that are coming out and some of the stocks and a lot of things I looked at, a lot of things. I was really surprised at some of the stocks I was looking at, how awful they performed. I said, but Stamps.com has been holding up pretty well. It's on its 200-day moving average. There's a big gap underneath if they actually do, in fact, miss. And on top of that, you know, people aren't using, we know this for a while, but it's really getting more and more, you know, not as much stamps and stuff. And they say, well, what about what about packages? I said, but you don't use, really, you maybe use some Stamps.com for packages. But there's other services and, you know, Amazon's not using stamps.com for goodness sakes. Paying their upcharge. So there you go.
All right.
What do you got?
I've got one thing only and one thing only is Deutsche Bank.
Oh, yeah, that's right. DB. And you're buying it because?
I think it's at the bottom. It's near the bottom, but I'm not so confident that it's dead bottom because I want to do a 20% on this.
Wow. I think it's the first time ever.
Yes, it is the first time ever.
I think it's the first time ever we've done. Wow. That's impressive. Let's see here. This is.
Yeah, well, the problem is if it doesn't go my way, then I have this big red thing sitting here on this chart for the next year because it's 20% and won't get off the list.
All right, let's see here. Buy Deutsche Bank. Okay, that's there. It's a JCD. JCD pick.
Bottom feeder.
Yeah, near the bottom, I said. Do you want to see bottom feeder? Bottom feeder. Bottom.
Bottom feeder.
B-O-O-T-T-O-M. Feeder. Okay, and let's color this correctly. You'll see all this. You can see how this is indicated on the DH site there. When you go over, you can see what's who owns what, who recommended or suggested for the game what, and all that. Okay, looks good to me.
Great.
And I look forward to talking to you next week.
All right.
All right. See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.